Welcome to the Age of Fission radio show with your host, Wami Clark. We stand together and accept we now live in a world transformed by the nuclear industry. We expose and confront the intentional neglect and disregard for life on our planet by atomic energy. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Every voice matters. Our actions matter. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. I want to thank Real Liberty Media for hosting my show, and I really appreciate it. And I think we have on the air with me Vinny. Vinny, are you there?
I am. Hello, Lonnie. It's very nice to be back on air with you here. I'm so glad to... We finally got it all together, and we've got you here at Real Liberty Media. So you and I go back to the UCY.TV days, and I've always appreciated the work that you do. I think it's very important, and it needs to stay in the forefront of the communication for what matters worldwide.
Yeah.
That was my broadcast there.
My whole thing, I kind of got into that. For people who don't know me, I got into this sort of sideways. I really had no idea. I grew up thinking that nuclear was safe and that the government was protecting us and everything was perfect. And then even after Fukushima, I really did believe Barack Obama when he said, everything's being handled. Don't worry about it. Like, I remember thinking, watching the television saying, thank God Barack Obama's our president while this accident is happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what most people, I don't think, know that's going on is all the leaks going on in the nuclear facilities throughout our country and worldwide, I guess, for that matter.
It's so beyond. Well, this is the thing. This is what I've realized after doing it. I've been doing this, I guess, since 2013 with my, or 14, since my live podcast. And so that sort of forced me to really do a lot of research. You know, I'm a YouTuber. I initially was on YouTube for the first few years, and then I did a show with Jules on UCY-TV. What I've discovered is that the whole thing with nuclear is just one big fat lie. First off, there are lots of leaks. Every plant leaks. Like, this is the weird part. In the United States, it's not just leaking facilities. Where we keep our nuclear waste, we're the only nation on the entire planet who uses Holtec caps to put our waste in. And what that means is we store our nuclear waste in unguarded open tanks that are 5/8 inch thick casts. The steel is only 5/8 inches thick, less than an inch, 5/8 of an inch. And then they fill the cask, and then they drop them into this cylinder that's made out of concrete that is itself only 4 to 5 inches thick that you can't inspect. It has vents at the top and at the bottom. So they stick a camera in there to see. They inspect them a few times a year. They don't even, actually, since the NRC has been under Trump, they basically stopped most of the inspections because the people who manufacture the casks tell us that they leak at 20 years. And most of the nuclear fuel in the United States has been in these casks 15 to 18 years. So we're coming on the 20-year mark where once it starts leaking, you cannot move the cask. So that's one issue that everybody has going on. And then we have the legacy sites, which are the Manhattan Project. Anytime you hear the word a legacy site, that means Manhattan Project site where they processed uranium or where they had big levels of plutonium and other nuclear contaminants. And so what the United States does with these sites is they cover up the sites with 12 to 24 inches of dirt, and they call it a park. That's literally what they do. Like, every site that they, quote, have closed down, it's a legacy site. Like, There's one. I mean, they're really everywhere. At the Niagara Falls sites, in St. Louis, at the Weldon Springs, they have them at the Rocky Flats. You know, the Rocky Flats, they just opened up a national reserve where they had all the plutonium and the testing out there, and the government has just magically deemed it to be safe. And so so you have the legacy sites, you have the CAS, and you have the leaks, and then you have the military sites. And actually, the military takes better care of the nuclear waste than most, but the answer is there's no answer to the nuclear waste. It's just a big eyesore. And then let's don't forget the uranium mines. We have open pit uranium mines where more than 60% of them are on Native American lands. And the way they handle the regulations for a uranium mine is once they've stopped dealing with the uranium and they don't need that mine anymore, they just abandon it like any other mine in the country. And they pour salt around the perimeter every 10 years. That's their method of dealing with it. And then we also have the nuclear sites themselves, like where we store our nuclear, most of our nuclear bombs are on submarines up in Seattle. So the whole, it's just a complete disregard for human life. And then let's don't forget the fact that they do not test. That's the other part, is there's no testing of food in the United States. After Fukushima, Barack Obama raised the radioactive, and this legislation had been on the president's desk since 1957, and he signed it after Fukushima, to raise the radiation limits exponentially, 26,000 times. That's essentially what they did. It used to be acceptable level was one rem of radiation in the air, and now it's up to 100, and it's beyond comprehension, the level. I call it nuclear denial. So if you can tell, it hit my hot button just talking about it. it's an incomprehensible crime against humanity because, well, let's talk about the World Health Organization, how this whole thing got all mixed up. After they discovered the immense power of the bomb, they created the International Atomic Energy Agency to basically, quote, manage the nuclear problem in a safe and humane way, and at the same time to promote the use of nuclear. So
the international, what was that?
It's called the International Atomic Energy Agency, and it's referred to as the IAEA, and you hear that all the time. The IAEA, like in Fukushima, 2 years ago, the IAEA told the Japanese government, you guys need to just dump that water in the Pacific Ocean, because there's no place for it going to go. Because remember, at Fukushima, you know, they basically had three catastrophic, not just nuclear meltdowns. They have had, like China syndrome, melt-throughs. They have no idea. They're still ongoing. They still have to pour 100,000 gallons of water on those plants every day to keep them from exploding. So there, every day, they have this wastewater. What are we going to do with it? Because it's too full of plutonium, cesium-137, 134, all these other radioactive nuclides that literally will kill people instantly. And so they've been storing it up, and what they have, it's interesting because what they have been doing, and I think they don't tell us this, is, I mean, they have just, they call them water farms now. They're just tanks. And the tanks that they're putting them in are only meant to store the water for 3 years. So now we're almost 9 years into it, which means those tanks are leaking. It's a big hot mess out there. So the IAEA basically said, at a certain point, you're going to have to start doing it. So what they did was create another plant that would basically filter out most of the harmful radioactive waste, except they can't take out tritium. Tritium is H2O3, which means it becomes water and there's no separating it. So in our water in the United States, for example, we have very high levels of tritium in all of our drinking water. And there's no getting out of it. Everybody has it. We have just been bombed to daylight since World War II. And nuclear is accumulative. Like, it piles up. It's like sedimentary sand. You know, every layer of the nuclear waste piles up inside our bones, inside our lungs. It's like at some point it breaks the system. And this is why children, in fact, Here I go again. I mean, it's just incomprehensible. They discovered after World War II, when they started testing the Marshallese people and they started testing the Japanese people who were bombed at Hiroshima and Fukushima, I mean, at Nagasaki.
Yes, in Hiroshima.
Yes, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They basically, at first they tested everybody, but then when they discovered that the children and the women and the babies are more grotesquely affected than anybody else, they destroyed those documents.
And imagine
that. Yeah, then they decided they're going to use the model, and this is the other part, the model that they use for safety tests is the average male of healthy weight, about 28 years old. And so they compare a child with a full-grown man who's healthy and has never been exposed to anything. And they also do not test for internal exposure because there is no safe level of internal exposure. So all these tests all say that it's external exposure. That's the safety level. But none of them test for internal exposure.
Now, there's also the Nevada test site north of Vegas, and then that in Utah, they did a lot of testing back 50s and so
That's
forth.
Right. You know what they did with those dirt? They dug it up. They dug down, I think, 10, 15 inches. It might be 20, but I think it was 10 to 15 on average. Just like they did in, you know how they created those big bags of dirt all over Japan? They have, well, what they did was they transported those bags of dirt and took them to the Marshall Islands and dumped them inside the dome where they blew up a hole on one of the islands, one of the atolls.
Yeah.
And so that's where that dome, have you heard about the Marshall Islands dome collapsing?
Is that just, that's not the same one where that whoever he was talking about the island flipping over upside down?
I don't know if it's upside down.
He'll remember this, I'm pretty sure. Now, you're not in chat, but here's a message from Grimner. He says this just happened yesterday, or was just admitted yesterday, that is, and that's the National Laboratory lost track of nuclear waste.
And they do that all the time.
Pardon?
They do that. That's common. That's like, yeah. I mean, they report it. This is the weird part is this is what I've learned. They really don't report it until they can minimize the, if they tell you they've lost 100,000 gallons, they've probably lost 200. I mean, the lies from the nuclear industry are incomprehensible. The stories change all the time. So that's the weird. You know, when you look at the history of how the nuclear industry became so devious in their disregard for human life, it's really just a simple story of greed, filthy, filthy greed. Because after World War II, the United States government hired John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin and Linus Pauling, actually, who won a nuclear prize, a Nobel Prize for his work on the effects of radiation on infants, to find out their goal and their stated goal from the Atomic Energy Agency, and now we call it the NRC, but they called it the Atomic Energy Commission. They basically told them, we want you to figure out how we can use this nuclear waste, and we want you to tell us that it's helpful to the human body. Find a way to make it really helpful to the human body. And if you can't do that, then your directive is to tell us that it is at least neutral. And so when they came back with all of their studies after studying for 5 or 6 years that were just conclusive evidence that it is nothing but harmful, and in fact it really hurts babies and infants, that's where he won the new Nobel Prize, because Linus Pauling basically verified that babies in utero are the ones who are most affected by radioactivity.
Linus Pauling, LynusPolling.
Yeah. And he's the guy that does the vitamin C. You might have known about him. He's the one who, a long time ago, you know, wrote all these books about the miracles of vitamin C. And
okay, this isn't the man on that got the nuke for the Nobel Prize for his nuclear testing on children.
Yeah.
Is this the same?
Okay, and it was like in the 50s or the early 60s. And so, but basically, when that happened, the United States government basically ostracized John Goffman. They basically terminated his work with the Lawrence Livermore Lab and Arthur Tamplin. I mean, they were basically harassed. He ended up getting a job as a university professor. I mean, he wrote many, many books trying to... In the 60s, their plan was to build 300 or 400 nuclear power plants around the country. And it was because of his work and Helen Caldicott's work that they literally were able to stop them. And now, yeah. You know, we only have 100 open. But when we're talking about 100 open, well, this is an example of how the nuclear industry works. And they work with these so-called environmentalist organizations, like the Natural Resource Defense Fund. In Illinois, there are two severely leaking nuclear power facilities, Bessie, and I forget the other name of it, but they're severely leaking. And the people of Illinois passed a referendum to close those nukes down. Well, the legislators inside of the Illinois state got paid lots of money, I guess, from the nuclear lobbyists, worked with the Natural Resource Defense Fund to keep those nuclear power facilities open. So they talked the government of Illinois to keeping these nuke facilities open, and the NDRC basically wanted to keep the nuke plants open because their goal was to close down coal. They wanted to shut down coal.
Which NDRC?
Natural Resource Defense Fund.
Okay.
And they are out of New York. And I actually, when this happened about 2 years ago, I was spitting nails. I actually called them up and had a big argument with one of their PR people because they were like, well, our goal is to close down the coal industry and we're just about ready to do it. So we think it, you know, we've weighed the balance. This is what their argument was. We've weighed the balance of these, the leaks of these two plants compared to the harm caused by coal, and we've determined that the leaks from the nuclear power facilities are less harmful than the coal, and our goal is to close down coal in Illinois. So, okay, they did that, but Donald Trump got elected. As soon as Donald Trump got elected, they reopened the coal in Illinois. So now you have a governmentally mandated these nuclear power facilities against the people's will have been reopened, and the coal has been reopened. So the people of Illinois, to be honest, the people of Illinois, anywhere east of the Mississippi is excessively contaminated. And these aren't just you're going to get cancer and leukemia. John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin proved through their scientific studies, repeated scientific studies, that exposure to low level, not high level, not like what happens if you get into a nuclear meltdown, but exposure to low level radioactive contamination causes diabetes, schizophrenia, autoimmune diseases, heart disease. I mean, and then you get the leukemias and cancers, but all those other things, they happen first. So this is why I get really... And autism, that's the other thing. It causes autism. So, you know, this whole thing of culpable deniability is what the nuclear industry has done. So they end up allowing other industries to take the blame. Like, okay, the increase of autism in our nation, for example, all we hear about is that it's caused by vaccines. Well, yes, vaccines may cause the autism, but it could also be caused by radioactivity and exposure in the system. But there's no testing. Nobody does any testing for it whatsoever. Zero. There's no studies to link autism to nuclear contamination ever since John Goffman did his work in the 50s and 60s. Same thing with schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is off the charts in our country. But, you know, basically one of the things that I did, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, has a map on its website, on its good little government website, because they love maps and graphs. So they have a map of where all the children, the high risk, where all the children are affected by diseases. I printed that out, and I laid it underneath where all the nuclear power facilities were.
Really?
Yes. And now, this is not a scientific study, but it's, you know, pretty, it's getting close. It poses the question, when you put them right on top of where the nuclear power facilities are, it's as if each nuclear power facility was an ink blot and it just bled out from there. And that's where all the children's diseases were. So there is a clear and present danger. Now, this is the downside to all of this. We are super screwed because it's not going away. Plutonium is the half-life. Sure. Well, I'm going to continue. The half-life of plutonium is 24,500 years. That's plutonium. Every single radioactive nuclide has its own half-life, and that means it's only going to be half as dangerous in 24,500 years. So, I mean, we're kind of in this place where there is just this waste, and their solution to the waste is dig up the dirt, lay some clean dirt on it. You know, you've heard this very often. The solution to pollution is dilution. That was somebody's brilliant idea in the 50s and 60s and said, well, if we just take uncontaminated dirt and mix it with highly contaminated dirt, it's not going to show as highly contaminated because you're spreading it all around. That's their thinking. That is still literally, that's in fact what they're doing with the food in Fukushima at the Tokyo Village and at the Fukushima Village where they're going to feed our athletes rice and food. They are mixing highly contaminated rice with non-contaminated rice and testing it and saying, oh, it's not so bad. You can eat it. So when we're looking at what nuclear is, it is like the sleeping giant of all of it, because really, then on top of that, when you're talking about radioactive nuclides, you're talking about chemical exposure because they use lots of chemicals to process the nuclear contamination. So they just count on people, not the ignorance. They count on ignorance. I mean, that they literally count on us being too ignorant and too unable to figure out what to do with it. And that is actually the truth. People just check out when you talk about nuclear contamination. You know, I mean, my own sister recently got cancer. She's been diagnosed with very severe cancer. Moved to San Onofre Nuclear, I mean, she moved to Carlsbad, California, which is 22 miles away from San Onofre Nuclear Facility, which is highly radioactive. And when you're talking about, you know, exposed lands, they shut down the San Onofre Nuclear Power Facility because Southern California Edison was going to put in a piece to make a replacement part that didn't fit the plant, and it would have caused a nuclear meltdown. So that's another part of the issue, is these licensees, they jimmy-rig stuff. There's no two nuclear power facilities identical. They've never cookie-cuttered them. So every facility is slightly different, and this is why it's so expensive. You have to tailor-make things, and they were trying to retrofit a piece for the San Onofre Nuclear Power Facility to make it work. And a whistleblower actually called Congress and Senator Boxer, and that's how they ended up getting it shut down. I mean, pretty immediately.
What was the name of the place there?
San Onofre.
S-A-N-O-N-O-F-R-E.
You can go to sanonofresafety.org. Donna Gilmore, who moved to San Clemente to retire, as soon as she moved there, this big issue about the plant being exposed came out in the newspaper, and she ended up getting involved. She was a data analyst for the state of California. And she's the one who exposed the problems with the cast. She has a technical mind and read their documentation and realized, wait a minute, they're telling us these casts are going to leak in 20 years, and they're only 5 inches thick. And, I mean, she's really opened up the conversation on it. She created a website called sanonofresafety.org, and she has created handouts, provided government-verified information. It's all verified on her website. She's actually a great resource for anybody who wants to. She has a list of the casts. Like, if you want to know about the nuclear power plant near you, she has a list of all the casts. She put it together. It's called an inventory list, CAS inventory list.
That's Donna Gilmore.
Uh-huh. Donna Gilmore created it.
Yeah, Senate, an Ofri Safety. That's where you find her in a search.
That's right. And you can go to her website, and let's see, I'll open it up. On there, she has the cask. It's a handout where it tells you exactly how it's called U.S. Dry Cask Inventory Sorted by States. It's 2 pages long. So you can look at this at any state. Browns Ferry, Arkansas. I don't know what state you're living in, but there's...
That's where I'm at. I've got to find out where Browns Ferry is.
Well, that's in Alabama. In Arkansas, they have Arkansas Nuclear One. Arkansas, there's 3 nuclear facilities there. And they have 2 of them have Holtec. They were... The last time they loaded in nuclear waste was 2010. So you see what I'm saying? They're 10 years old. The first time they did it in Arkansas, the first load was done in 1996. And so 96 is past the 20-year mark, which is why they're probably starting to get loaded. She also has it listed as B and W. One means bolted and one means welded. So are they welded shut or are they just bolted shut? And then it talks about how many spent fuels are in each assembly. So there's, like at Fukushima, they were supposed to put, 24 assemblies. Well, it turns out they were stuffing like 30 to 50 in each fuel assembly. Instead of putting in the right amount, they were just stuffing them in there. That's also what caused the nuclear meltdown. So the disregard for human life that the nuclear industry has, and the way they just get away with it, like they're just an ordinary industry, like no big deal, like we can actually clean this up. No, we can't. They have never spent a single dollar trying to figure out how do we neutralize nuclear waste. All they've done is want to bury it. When they say they're going to clean it up, they're not cleaning it up. They're taking it from one place and putting it into another and just basically spreading the contamination like what they did. If you followed Fukushima at all, people were shocked at what they were doing in Fukushima. They created incinerary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were burning up. They basically created these power plants where they basically burned up all the waste that they were cleaning up after the debris. They took all this debris and they were basically burning it up and putting the radioactivity into the atmosphere.
It does not destroy it. It puts it in the atmosphere. It's not like on the ground you could dump baking soda on acid and neutralize it. There's no neutralization. You can disperse it. What you're talking about is the the solution is a dilution type of method.
That's their attitude.
All that dumping into the ocean too. They keep having to keep that water flushing. And
over 100,000 gallons a day. And that's even denying the fact that the plants themselves are in China syndrome. They don't have any idea where the fuel is. Like they say, oh, well, in 40 years, we're going to be able to figure it out. No, they aren't. What they're saying is in 40 years, they think they might have a solution, but they're basically just kicking the can down the road. Just like, for example, Three Mile Island. They never stopped Three Mile Island. All they did was cap it. They've never gone in there and cleaned it up. It's still a hot mess, literally hot mess. They were able to put a lid on Three Mile Island. They made people evacuate for 2 weeks and said you can come back. But people living around Three Mile Island have very high rates of autism, very high rates of schizophrenia, very high rates of all these autoimmune diseases. I mean, my sister she moved to Pennsylvania and didn't realize until I got involved. This is, I didn't really understand how close she was to Three Mile Island. Turns out she's in between 3 nuclear power plants. She has 3 autistic grandchildren. I mean, what's the odds of that? We've never had autism in our families ever. And now people regularly have autistic children or autoimmune diseases
And you know that now also they have this spectrum that they're breaking it down to, this autism, because, well, maybe this kid has this little bit of some type of, something that's exposing itself, that some problem, problematic problem there. I'm stumbling on my words here, but they're redesigning the language that we use to talk about these things, to cover it up and to move it along and forget about it.
That's right. And literally, forget about it. Like, not, they don't test, they don't talk. Now, my question is, what is going to happen when we see the 2020 Olympics and we see people start, their nose will bleed, their ears will bleed. We might have an athlete or two who has a heart attack.
That's going to be in Fukushima, right?
They're opening the games in the Fukushima prefecture, and the guy is going to carry the torch through in order to get from Fukushima to Tokyo, they have to run through highly radioactive areas, places where nobody can live. The runner has to run through highly radioactive places. So it's, and then they're having the baseball games, and this is when you knew that they are really making a major push. I think Fukushima pushed up their plans to normalize nuclear contamination, because they're starting surfing in Japan for the first time ever in Japan. We've never had surfing at the Olympics until the
tour.
Surfing.
Plus they're feeding the mixed rice, right?
And the fish. They're saying that
the fish.
This is the thing about the fish. This is really scary. The fish, because there's not very much potassium in the water, right? So fish's bodies naturally, John Goffman explained this in his book, Poison Power. The fish, there's two things if you're in a radioactive area that you should avoid: dairy and fish, because fish naturally magnetize the potassium in their bodies, because there's not much of it in the seawater that they're living in. So they want to magnetize the potassium to get what they need. Well, what it does when it's swimming through radioactivity is it doesn't recognize cesium. Anything that with the IUM, like potassium, the cesium, it magnetizes it 1,000 times. So, like, in fact, when they were testing the food right after Fukushima, they stopped testing tuna within 2 years because 100% of the tuna all tested positive for cesium-137. 100%.
Poison Power, John, what's his last name?
John Goffman.
Goffman.
I read Poison Power on my YouTube channel, and I also read his other book. He wrote another, I thought it was a joke, but it's called Population Control Through Nuclear Contamination.
Okay, and now on YouTube, you can find your channel there, Nuts for Art. It's NutzForArt. And right. You have a lot of good content there besides your podcast here that you've been doing for some time and went over into UCY and for quite some time there as well. And among those, you're reading books. So for those that...
I've done a lot of different things. Like I have for a while I was doing... puppet shows. I'm sort of like throwing spaghetti on the wall. I'm trying to figure out what sticks so that people will actually, you know, be outraged. And I'm kind of like the Greta Thunberg of nuclear contamination, except I'm not 17.
who's that, Greta?
You know that girl, Greta Thunberg, the one who does the climate strike every Friday.
Oh, that's why you say her last night. You know, I've not listened to a single word that she said. Not one. And
well, you know, speaking of autism, there's a girl.
Donald Trump is because it's actually oops. Yeah, it's.
Well, you know, she's on the autism spectrum, so she's been on the, you know, she's been diagnosed with the autism spectrum, because she's got, I forget what that is, where she focuses in on stuff, right? So that's part of the autism spectrum, and. You know,
Ray Manning counting the number of toothpicks that spilled out of the box.
Kind of, yeah.
On the floor, yeah. Yeah, it's a big political ploy they're playing with this gal, and I don't put myself in there. What I do is look at the responses from people, and I have people that, I say with fun that I'm the smartest person I know because I know so many people that are smarter than me. I have people that I look to as beacons and as buoys. Out there is there's level markers, right? To set in this benchmark of what actually is. You when I said Maxine Bernstein is great, awesome, I love her, she writes for the Oregonian, I said, but she's liberal, and you go, wait a minute, I'm a liberal. But the fact is, we all have something of value to add, and there is distraction sometimes, just a ploy to play against us, being played against us. So that's what you and I are doing now. We get along so well, I think that we communicate well, and I think it's a fine example of where we need to be right now in this world in making a difference, and is getting past those supposed differences and being able to communicate and effectively share this information with people. And if we have to agree upon everything, then we're in a pretty bad spot.
I don't think anybody agrees on everything. It's kind of like one of the things I've been doing, and I've sort of on Twitter, I follow this young woman, Greta Thunberg, because I think it's great that the students are actually getting involved and paying attention and saying, look, we don't have the solutions. We want the adults to come up with the solutions. But we can't just keep doing business as usual because it's murder, death, kill. But one of the things that is really like I about went berserk, and I haven't heard her. Now, she's not responded because she's on this big, gigantic public stage. But, you know, like I keep feeding her information on her Twitter feed about nuclear contamination because there is huge denial at every level, like beyond comprehension at every level, that nuclear contamination is contributing to the collapse of our environment. Like Chris Busby and I had a big conversation the last time I interviewed him. You know, he first told me when I first talked to Dr. Chris Busby, I think it was 2013 or 14, and he was like, well, you know, the ocean's big and they can just keep dumping this water. You know, it's just so big. It was so arrogant. He said, well, I don't think you understand how big the ocean is. And I'm like, you know, I get it how big the ocean is. But, you know, you can't dump. Well, Sellafield, for example, in England, has been dumping 900,000 liters of nuclear waste into the Atlantic Ocean, into the Irish Sea since 1962, and it is, you know, it's becoming a wasteland. Like, there is no way all the nuclear waste we've dumped into the oceans has not harmed the biology of the oceans since they had 2,000 nuclear bomb tests. They destroyed the Bikini Atoll, and in the Marshall Islands, children still have birth defects to this day. And it is really, now the government will say, well, they're not that bad of birth defects. Most children are born with what they call, their eyes, one eye is shut closed, and they just need surgery. They have an eye under there, but the eye hasn't opened. That's a common birth defect. Well, to get that surgery, well, there's no hospital on the Marshall Islands. The United States government never built a hospital there. So in order for a kid to get a simple surgery like that, their family has to come up with $2,000 to fly them back and forth to Fiji. So it's an insane kind of denial. It's basically using people as an experiment, and then not even keeping track of your experimental victims. It's kind of like what they did at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It came out that all of the testing, when they say, kind of like exactly what they did in Chernobyl, it's a clear pattern of abuse from the get-go. Like, at Nagasaki and Hiroshima, they did all these studies, and then when they discovered the children and women were being harmed, they destroyed all that and restarted it. And then they were comparing people who were living in a little area near Hiroshima and said, okay, well, let's look at those things. And then they compared it to another city that it was very far away, and they realized that people in Hiroshima were very, very, very badly affected. So they got rid of the control group, and they started conducting studies from only within the people who were affected. So they built parameters. If you live here 25 miles, if you live 5 miles from the center, 25 miles, 50 miles from the center, instead of taking a completely different city that had not been affected.
Now, we see testing on people that seem to have little value throughout history, from the Tuskegee Airmen, and we've got the test in St. Louis where they were spraying, and there's a number of facts that's been shown from history that show these tests, they just do it to people, right? What There's nothing to regulate this, to prevent it. It's just do as I will, I guess.
I mean, pretty much. There is regulations, but they don't tell people. Like, they just don't tell people. Like in St. Louis, you bring St. Louis up, you know. In St. Louis, the government buried Mallinckrodt. Mallinckrodt used to process the uranium, the highest grade uranium from Africa and Canada was sent down to St. Louis to this company called Mallinckrodt to process the uranium for the government.
Spell that Mallinckrodt.
M-A-L-L-E-N, I think it's C-R-O-D-K.
Okay.
Mallinckrodt or something like that.
Thank you.
The Googles will correct the spelling if that's incorrect. But they basically processed, well, what happened was they ended up having 200,000 tons of extra uranium down there after World War II when they were no longer doing the bomb testing and they had done what they needed to do. So Mallinckrodt buried it out way out where there weren't any houses, but they buried it way out in the middle of nowhere, according to them at the time, out by the airport in St. Louis.
And now they've got houses out there on top of it. Is this the same thing that was talking about some years back with Scott from St. Louis?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. Uh-huh. And it's still, well, so there's several, this is the thing, St. Louis has what they call legacy sites, right? There's four separate legacy sites. So they buried something like hundreds of thousands of tons of it in basically train cars. They basically buried train cars. And then families were getting sick out by the Coldwater Creek. Well, then they discovered it and they fought really hard to have that moved. Well, so what happened was, right after that, while that was going on, the licensee illegally sold 50,000 tons or 50,000 pounds of it. The number is 50,000 either tons or pounds, but I think it's 50,000 pounds of it. And they buried it. They sold it to the Westlake Landfill. And the Westlake Landfill buried it in their... Now, the landfill is basically the dump where people, you know, dump their stuff, right? So they buried it. And it was a money transaction. Again, they got paid big money to do this. So they buried it, and then they weren't following their own best practices because they didn't inventory it correctly, and that's where they were burying a lot of other fuse wrap waste from the military industrial complex where they built the airplanes and other weapons byproducts that was poisonous. They would bury it at the landfill. And they didn't keep them separate, so then it became on fire. They basically interacted and became on fire. And at the Westlake Landfill, there's the people out there discovered at Westlake Landfill, which is a different location from the Coldwater Creek facility area, which is a kind of a gentrified place. Westlake Landfill turned out to be right next to where poor people live. And so they had the dump was always smelling like eggs and people couldn't figure it out. But people were getting very, very, very sick. Like everyone was getting sick. The children were dying of cancer. They discovered that was, they call it a smoldering event. They don't call it being on fire. They call it a smoldering event because it's on fire underneath the ground. And there's, so what the government did now was they put plastic tarp all over the landfill. And then they put a cap on top of the smoky thing to try to filter it out so that the people living, instead of moving people out, again, they just let people live right there.
What did you call that? I'm sorry, I was typing over here and then I was trying to remember, firing something. What was that?
They call it a smoldering event.
Smoldering event, thank you. I'm taking notes all throughout this. So.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can go to the Just Moms STL. So there's the Coldwater.
I remember them, yes. Yeah. Back when we were engaged together and sharing all this information on the Coldwater Creek and the Westlake Landfill. If you're on Facebook, there's groups there.
That's right.
Where people are doing activist.
They're pushing the EPA to like protect their families. Essentially, is what they have to do. They have to, you know, and I mean, and then across the river. The Missouri River in a place called Weldon Springs, there was a huge stack of like what the kids thought for since the 40s, a big black sand hill. And kids used to play in it all the time. I mean, turns out that those were plutonium pellets from the processed uranium where they were just dumping the plutonium pellets. So when the government discovered that, when people started dropping off like flies and everybody was sick, the government basically put 12 inches of dirt over it, put a little path on it, and it's called the Weldon Springs National Park. It's a legacy park.
So, another legacy.
Yeah.
I'm laughing, but it's not a bit funny.
No, It's really a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it's called Welding what? Welding Springs?
Weldon Springs, yeah. Now, those people have their own issues. So, and then there's a little town across in Illinois, and it's called Venice, Illinois, where Larry Bergen, who, I'm reading his book, he actually wrote a book. He's fighting. He was the first person in Illinois to be granted basically disability from the state of Illinois for nuclear contamination because he worked in a plant that he thought was processing aluminum. And once a week they had a, quote, special product where he was processing, unbeknownst to him, these pellets of uranium. And what happened was after about 10 years of working there, he started getting really sick. People in his facility, they were all starting to get really sick. So they did grant him the disability, but he's never gotten a dime because they're putting off paying him. So they're trying to do a class action lawsuit with everybody in the plant that worked there. It's just, to be honest, that is typical of every site. What happened in St. Louis, like most people don't realize that. Like in New York, Indian Point, the nuclear power facility in Indian Point is missing 18 bolts to keep the facility together, and it's leaking 66,000% higher tritium than is allowable by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
And, tritium, again, is H3.
You know how we have H2O3?
H2O is water, so H3O is
tritium. That's right.
It's so close. I mean, the components that make it up on the periodic table, you say it's so close to water that this black mix.
Well,
is
the
right
radioactivity,
in.
What happens is the tritium, the radioactive nuclide of tritium, attaches to water and it just becomes the water. You can't undo it. Now, I'm obviously, you can tell I'm not the scientific type, you know what I mean? Like, sends me. What I do know is that right now, for example, in Chernobyl and every place that you go where there's nuclear, there's high levels of autism. The other thing is it causes sterility. So there's high levels of sterility, high levels of autism, learning disabilities, cancers. I mean, look, cancer is the number one killer of children in our country. There's never a discussion that it was caused by nuclear contamination. Never. In fact, if you go to your doctor and say, hey, I think I'm being exposed by the high levels of radioactivity from that nuke plant down the street, they will scoff at you. You will get scolded. Very few doctors will even consider that. So, you know, this is what drives me to keep doing this radio podcast. And I don't know how many people listen, but I think that there is a huge growing. This is why I know that people, there's a lot of people that are ridiculing this young woman, Greta Thunberg, for being engaged. They think she's a pawn by the climate activists.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that say she's a pawn.
You know what I think? I think that conversation, those people that say that are the same ones that demean me and say, oh, well, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Greta Thunberg is just a kid who read scientific studies about the collapsing environment. Now, what's interesting about all the studies that she read, not one of them ever talked about the effects of nuclear contamination on the environment. Never.
Well, we can't have that kind of information and getting out, you know.
Well, they don't even study it. That's the thing. It's not even, you know, John Goffman's partner in all of his studies was Dr. Arthur Tamplin. And I was reading in that book, Population Control Through Nuclear Contamination. It was really a shock. Arthur Tamplin had been asked to come and speak at a university, I think it was the University of Baltimore. And they told him, they read, you know, he sent them in advance his scientific study that he was going to talk about. And in his study, it really talked about the negative effects of radioactivity directly on children. I mean, there have been very, very few studies on children because they know how harmful it is. And he was going to talk about that. The director of the discussion of this scientific study about this basically said, you have to eliminate that from your talk, otherwise we won't sponsor your work anymore. So what did he do? He just eliminated it from his talk so that he could go and share at least some information. See, I personally hold the scientists responsible for the misinformation. I have a protest sign that says, when scientists lie, people die. Because it is the scientists who are worried about their academic careers and their financial careers who are allowing themselves to be coerced into misrepresenting the truth. This is why I do like Dr. Chris Busby, because he's basically been ousted by the medical industry for his refusal to deny the epidemiological harm that nuclear contamination causes children. And his studies have actually won cases for the nuclear victims from World War II in the British courts. So he's actually been able to prove through his scientific studies in the courts and won compensation for people using his studies in the British courts. So,
well, I think that there's a play from both ends, from the extreme environmentalism to the other side, the far where they are coming in wanting to privately own up so much and do the same thing that's being done now, but for their own profit and contamination. Now, I have I've written down. We're coming up here within 9 minutes to the end of the show, and this is what I'd like to do in broadcast. I hate to say show, but we are trying to show here. It's the whole point of being here. So I thought we'd just kind of wrap up today's premiere broadcast with a little post-production discussion here. I'll go back through with the long list and talking about bringing the bullet points over to the blogcaster page that Grimner set up for you here at Real Liberty Media. And I don't know how you're going to go about doing this just yet. Like, so we're just, you know, planning as we go along here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here to help introduce you to the fine folks over here at Real Liberty Media. We have a chat channel. You don't like to do the chat when I'm doing the air. And I know why, and I remember the days that you see why. People get pretty harsh.
Everybody, well, not only that, opinion. It's hard for me to think and read at the same time. Like, I can't, like, have this talking going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get to. I run a 100 miles an hour.
And then people on their agenda, like, they're not really paying attention. They sort of check out. They actually do check out, even in the chat rooms. They check out on the information about nuclear contamination, and then they just get all, you know, I don't know. Like, they, you know, they just do their own deal. So, to me, I just can't do the chat. I find it very disrespectful and misogynistic, most of them. So, I have zero tolerance for exposing myself to any of that.
I ain't mad at you. Let me run through here. Now, I got some top or bullet points here, and some of them kind of rerun into each other. We've talked about Fukushima, the nuke plants, and waste cast, and leaks, Manhattan. We've talked about the legacy sites, about plutonium and uranium from St. Louis and Rocky Flats and other sites, open mines, and that is the...
And don't forget the military sites and the where we keep our military weapons also. I can send you a little bunch of bullet points on all of this stuff because they're
This is what you'll be sending to Grimner, and he'll be doing the thing. So you don't have to put all of this. I'm just reading these out for kind of a recap and then for your consideration and what you will want to forward on to Grimner, whether you want to include any links. Leave it for the listener to do their own search or not.
I can provide links because usually whenever I open up do the radio show, I always do, when I do my podcast on Spreaker, I always do put the links on and everything that I talk about.
Okay. So well, I'll run through these here and just for your consideration and a recap for the listeners. So we had some people tune in late. Welcome from Denmark to Circle Line and Flash Somebody. This is brand new. This is The Age of Fission with Lonnie Clark. Previously, from YouTube and on to UCY.TV and now here at the Real Liberty Media. I'm glad to have you, Lonnie.
Well, thank you, Vinny. Thanks for inviting me,
and I'm
grateful to be on your channel, because really I think it goes out to many more people than you think. I mean, you know, I actually did search on Spotify, and you can actually find your shows on Spotify, and I think people do hear them. It's out in the big wide world, but I think that that's part of what they want us to think, is that nobody's listening, but I think a lot of people do listen. So I appreciate you inviting me on. That's been awesome.
And you never know, right?
I mean, that's the idea.
Somebody here that really needs to hear. Let me run through this real quick. We're coming out. We're going to round out in about 5 minutes. So I'll carry the bullet points here and then the topics for your perusal and search if you'd like. Open minds on the Native American lands and abandon. Salt it and cover it. Salt it and cover up. We've got nuke in the Navy and no testing for food. Raise acceptable rad levels. Now that went 28,000 times from zero, or from 1 to 100. Talked about the WHO, the World Health Organization, and the International Atomic Energy Agency. We talked about H23, that's tritium. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the Marshall Islands. Talked about safety tests and they're being
Louis.
Very slack. The Nevada test site in Utah, and report the National Laboratory lost track of nuclear waste, that link from Grimner. The nuclear Nobel Prize, testing on children in the AEC to make it helpful or neutral at least. Linus Pauling, John Goffman, Lawrence Livermore Lab. 100 open nuclear plants in America, and that was from a post, 200 or 300, I think you said. We have the National Resource Defense Fund, the coal industry, reopening coal plants in Illinois from Trump after legislation to close the stuff, Vinny, I'm
telling you, that is just kind of scratching the surface. Like, these are just things off the top of my head.
This is a great list right here. A great start.
I mean, this is just the beginning. I mean, these are things, like, even as you're saying them, I'm thinking of things that we could add into these things. Like the World Health Organization, for example, the International Atomic Energy Agency has the authority to censor anything that the World Health Organization says or does.
Yeah, right. So, from low-level exposure, it causes diseases, and on to cancer. We're talking about this being in the vicinity of these plants. Vaccines and autism, the CDC, the maps and graphs, the overlay that you did of children's disease in the nuclear plants. We've got, poison. Solution to pollution is the solution. A dilution, I think I should have wrote, the solution to pollution is dilution. I wrote it wrong. Contaminated rice and that mix and the PG&E parts in the retrofit. Send a note for safety. Donna Gilmore, handout. There's a handout there, the inventory. We talked about Browns Ferry and then Arkansas, the three facilities here, and the timing and the expiration coming about. Let's talk about stuffing cell rods in Three Mile Island, putting the lid on it. The China syndrome. 2020 Olympics from Fukushima to Tokyo, and feeding rice and fish, a good old mix. And hey, why not have some surfing out there? Poison power, John Goffman, avoid fish and dairy, Greta. And I wanted to talk about Howell and the Japanese current and the water dumps in there, but we did not get that. We're mixing that off. Eye closure, denial. And that's the children of the Marshall Islands and, what you talked about there, St. Louis and Malin, that place there, the four legacy sites, and buried in rail cars. We've got Coldwater Creek, Westlake Landfill. We've got smoldering events and Welding Springs and Venice, Illinois, and Larry Bergen and his being the first to receive Social Security for nuclear poisoning. Indian Point, New York, missing bolts. Population control through nuclear contamination by Chris Busby. And those are the points that I put down to paper from the tip of my pen for today. Thanks, Lonnie. This was a really good introduction, I think. We had a lot of stuff to t- t- touch on and continue from?
Well, these are things that, you know, it's easy for me to keep doing it because all of these things, like if you just take them apart one by one, I mean, the people that are engaged in stopping and exposing the nuclear lies have been doing it for 30 years. It's a lifetime commitment. But I think that it's worthwhile to keep pushing back because otherwise they're just going to steamroller all of us. So I really appreciate the opportunity here, Vinny. It's been awesome.
Well, Graham Nurse, the creator of our chief cook and bottle washer here at Real Liberty Media. So we're real proud to have him do what he does for us. And I'm glad that you're here.